Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast, presents episode 494, San Diego Comic-Con 2015 special, recorded live on July 16th, 2015. Hello everyone, welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I'm your host, Duststorm.
And I'm your other host, BioWolf.
And we're back after quite of a bit of hiatus, at least for live show purposes. We haven't done one in about 3 or 4 weeks, actually. So we are back behind the microphones on Twitch tonight to talk about some San Diego Comic-Con news and Halo news from there and a bunch of cool things that we got to experience. I have with me on the show Mr. Hassast and Godzilla T. And we also have special guest Laird on the show as well. Welcome, everybody.
Hello.
Hey. Hi.
It has been quite a week for Halo, for San Diego. And I guess since we've been gone, it's been quite a month for Halo ever since we got a lot of the info from E3. And then we got a lot of info from San Diego. And the train, of course, is just going to keep on rolling with Gamescom here and within the next 3.5 weeks, and then we have PAX Prime shortly thereafter, so the hype train just keeps on rolling, and
we've
got a lot of info to talk about. Well, Halo's not going to have any official presence at RTX, unfortunately, so we're kind of stuck there, at least, well, I wouldn't say necessarily we're stuck there, because we're going to have our own anniversary thing going on at RTX, so if you're there, we hope you get to drop by. We'll have some details on that a little bit later, but Halo is going to be mostly focusing on Gamescom, since that's the big Europe one for the year. And then after that, they'll be focusing on PAX. But nonetheless, we'll still have fun at RTX. We'll just have fun while we get our news from abroad, so to speak. But we have lots of things to talk about from San Diego Comic-Con. Laird was gracious enough to offer me a complimentary pass to go to San Diego Comic-Con. So I owe a huge debt of gratitude to you, sir, for letting me experience my first San Diego Comic-Con, which was amazing, I might say. So thank you so much for that.
No problem. You don't owe me anything. You know, it's just a pass.
Just
you're
a
welcome,
pass.
Though.
You know how many people would pay like thousands of dollars just to go to something like that?
Yeah, but you know, you're a friend, so you know, you deserve it. I'd do it for anyone, you know, on this podcast. To go. Maybe next year. We'll see who we can sneak in.
We shall see. But it was a lot of fun, I will say. It wasn't quite what I expected, but in a good way. From talking with people that had been there in the past, it's normally been a lot more chaotic and hectic on the expo floor. I've been to New York Comic Con a couple of times, and compared to that, it actually seemed somewhat mild. And I know with talking for people that have been there before, it did seem a little more mild to them as well this year. So that was actually kind of a blessing in disguise. But other than that, it was really cool to meet all the 405th guys, get to actually see voice actors there that I haven't seen anywhere else. So the voice actor for Roland was there, the new Locke voice actor, Vale, Lasky. Yeah. It was just cool to see them there and to get to say hi to them. So it's a very different experience from E3 and PAX, for sure. It seems like each one of those is very separate in their experience, even though there is some crossover. Each one seems to be different. But enough of babble. Let's go ahead and just kind of jump straight into the Halo news of things. So the first thing that we got at San Diego was the announcement of another Warzone map, which is called Apex. And they actually introduced this in a pretty interesting way. They partnered up with Megablox, who has done Halo stuff now since 2008, starting off with Halo Wars, 2008. And they actually made a scale model of the map completely out of Megablox. And this thing was awesome, to say the least. I think, for the most part, it was one of the cooler centerpieces of the Xbox Lounge at San Diego Comic-Con. Talking with the community manager there, who I got to meet for the first time, since she's new, Carrie.
Yeah, Carrie.
It was made out of approximately 8,900 blocks and weighs about 1,000 pounds.
Wow.
This thing is massive.
Crap.
Yes.
And the little figures are really super detailed, even though they were like half an inch tall.
Right. They 3D printed little Spartans and elites and hunters that you could actually place on the map. And there was a contest going on because eventually this is going to be a set that you can buy. And it's going to be scaled down even further. It's not going to be this massive thing. But there was a contest going on where every day people could put on these little mini Spartans, and whichever color had the most, or whichever one ran out first, won for that day. Whichever color won the most days out of the duration of the convention would be the color of the bases for the set. And out of the first 3 days, blue just took the show. So by the fourth day, when they had the Mega Bloks panel, they announced that the set is going to be blue base color. So you'll actually get to see Apex as a Mega Bloks set, as a blue base set.
Nice.
Which is really cool. And I thought maybe you remember if they answered this, Laird, but did they say that they were going to have those 3D mini print Spartans as part of the set going into...
This is vaguely from memory, from what someone, I won't say who, because, yeah, stuff. But they said they would have these smaller Spartans, the little ones, in a future line. They did mention that they would be out there in some kind of capacity.
Okay. I couldn't remember if they said it was for this set, because if they scale it down even further, that's kind of the same scale I would assume they would go with.
When we were looking at the little ones, I asked this individual and they said yes, but they didn't know when. So that's why I'm going to say in the future sometime.
Gotcha. Makes sense. But they are pretty cool. I actually managed to nab a couple of them. So for those watching on the live stream, oh yeah.
I gave them mine. Yep.
So for those on the live stream, I'm going to switch over to my webcam here for a second and see how detailed you can actually see these. If my camera will focus long enough for you to see the detail, or if there's light enough.
Did you get one of the Promethean, not knights, what are they, the Promethean soldiers?
No. So, yeah. By the time I got there on Sunday, none of the hunters and the Prometheans were gone. So my camera is not... I don't know if it's going to focus with me having something this close to it.
They're little.
They are tiny. If I get... I'm going to get a normal size figure real quick. I don't think I can... I don't know if the camera's going to focus. I don't think it's going to. But anyways, just for scale size, for scale purposes, I'll put a picture of these in more detail later on. But just for scale purposes, this is what... Oops, backwards. This is what it looks like. Here's your normal size Spartan, Mega Bloks Spartan. And I know it's blurry, but here's your normal one. And then here's a tiny... And this is 3D printed, by the way. This isn't a casted piece. This is 3D, totally 3D printed. That's the difference right there. You got mini Spartan here, and you got regular Spartan here.
They're tiny.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
They're really tiny.
But even for being 3D printed, they have some good detail to them.
Like, oh, yeah.
And it sucks that the camera's not focusing.
You can actually see the little visor groove like on the little guys. That's how printed well they are.
Yeah. Actually, I'm going to try my other webcam real quick. Yes, I have two webcams. And see if that one will focus a little bit better. I don't think it's going to. I don't think either one of these is going to focus on something so close. But anyways, I will take a picture and put it on Twitter later. But these are pretty cool. And I managed to snag a couple sets of them. Blue and red. So anyways, blue one, and that set's going to be coming out sometime next year. They also, at the Mega Bloks panel, announced a few other sets, but we'll get to that in a little bit. The other cool thing at San Diego Comic-Con, which they put on, was in association with Stony Props and Boomco, which is also actually another Mattel company. So Mega Bloks is under Mattel, and Boomco is under Mattel. So Mattel has kind of this
umbrella,
establishing monopoly of Halo stuff right now. But they had a 1,200 square foot in real life breakout arena where you could come and play breakout with these Boomco dart guns. And there were human pistols and plasma pistols. You can actually buy a set of these exclusively at Comic-Con. And I actually have a set here, which I'll open up here on the stream. But you had the total arena experience. So you had the one shot to kill. And the darts in these dart guns actually shoot very accurately at a very good distance and rate of speed. So these are a lot better than Nerf guns. The darts are actually plastic, not foam, so they fly truer and more straight.
You can definitely feel them when you get hit.
Oh, yeah. Even if you're wearing the armor that you actually were wearing, you had a chest and back plate, shoulder plates, and a helmet that Sony props.
And goggles.
Right, you had the safety glasses. But you had this Spartan training outfit, which is what they called it, which actually reminded me more of kind of Ford Unto Dawn, Corbulo Academy, where they were doing the training. So the helmet and the chest, back, and shoulder pieces were kind of iconic to what they were wearing in the... Do you call that a movie? What do you call that? A mini webisode thing? How do you technically classify that?
Straight to DVD? I don't know.
Anyways, Ford Unto Dawn, when they were doing the training run in the first episode, the armor was really reminiscent of that to me. So that was really cool to actually wear that, and you could actually hear it and feel it hit the armor. So it was pretty powerful stuff. And they say that the darts are actually supposed to stick to it, but because of all the dirt on the ground, they actually lost their stickiness.
Yeah.
All the con cred.
Yes, all that stuff. So I'm going to open up this Boomco box set here real quick. For those on the live stream, for those that are listening at home, sorry, but this won't do you much good. But there are pictures up around the internet, so you can actually go and check this out. And we'll have we'll have pictures up on our website here pretty soon once I get the rest of my stuff in, because I actually had to mail more than half of my stuff home just to clear some room in my suitcase. But I did manage to get the Boomco's home with me because they actually wouldn't fit in the box.
Just FYI, the Boomco guns aren't exclusive to San Diego. It was the case that came in it. So if Bio or whoever wants to get one later down when they're released, you just won't get the cool box, but you'll be able to get the pistol and the plasma pistol and all that other stuff.
Yeah, I mean, when we're at E3, we've seen the Needler.
Needler.
The
SMG, and there is an assault rifle in the works.
Oh, okay, that's pretty cool.
And there is the carbine, Covenant carbine.
Oh, right. That was one of the power weapons that they no one actually got because everyone was under fire.
Again, for those on the Twitch stream, you'll see this. For those at home, unfortunately, you won't. But this is the Boomco set. So you have the human pistol, which is red team, and then you have the Covenant plasma pistol, which is blue team. And then you have your darts, your red and blue darts. And for both of them, they have a clip capacity, I say in quotes, clip capacity of 5. So you actually have 1 in the chamber, and then you have 4 that you can reload with. And these are all single action where you cock it, shoot once, have to reload, and then cock it again. Now for the power weapons, there's 4 different power weapons that they had at San Diego. The first one was the SMG. The second one was the carbine, and those are the same class of weapon where it's a clip, but it shoot once and you have to cock it again and then shoot again, but you don't have to reload it. And then they had the Needler, which I think was similar, but it was different somehow. I actually didn't get to use the Needler that much. Did you get your hands on it, Laird?
Yeah, it. If anybody's ever seen a Gatling gun, it basically had the darts in like a circular kind of magazine, and you just kind of pump fired, but the mechanism was in a circular firing, like a minigun almost.
And didn't the top darts
glow? That was where the top darts glowed, and that's where you stored them, pulled them out and then reloaded in the front.
Right.
But one thing that I noticed that just looking at one of the pictures is that plasma pistol actually glows in the dark on the little white lines on the side. So if you put it under a black light, it glows like the plasma pistol in the game.
Oh, cool.
So is it fluorescent or does it glow in the dark?
I don't know what it is. I was looking at a picture on Reddit, and someone put it under some weird kind of light, and it glowed like the plasma pistol. So I don't know if they photoshopped it, if it's legit, but, you know, just put it under a light if you haven't and see what happens.
Okay. I have a black light here that I might try it with after the show. That'll be cool to try. And they also had an LMG there as well. And that was fully automatic. You had to pre-pump it up. I think it took maybe on the degree of like 20 or 30 pumps before it was fully loaded. But you had a clip of about 24 darts or so. And you could just chew through this thing. And it was funny to watch 343 actually go around and shoot this at each other. So Bravo was kind of messing around with it. I think the first time or on, what was it, Saturday? Yeah, Saturday.
Saturday morning, yeah.
He just emptied a clip into Che, which was kind of funny. I got some footage of that, so.
I was going to say, yeah, you threw the GoPro up and got the whole thing.
Yeah. For the Breakout Arena, we actually got about 47 minutes of footage for Saturday morning, which was 343, just kind of goofing around. And then the 405th actually came and did a photo shoot. And they actually did a 4v4 match, fully suited, of Breakout, which was a lot of fun to watch.
I would have loved to have seen that. That would have been sick. That'd be interesting.
We have GoPro footage of it.
Dusty was in there filming the whole thing, like all cameraman, like.
Right.
Like dodging bullets and everything.
Yeah. One of the camera guys from the 405th, his name is Tyler. He was in there taking stills, and then I ran around with my camera taking video, and then I had the GoPro up on one of the corner walls. So there's definitely lots of footage to go through for all of this stuff. And I'm looking forward to kind of going through it and getting it out for you guys here pretty soon. But lots of cool stuff from just the in real life Breakout stuff. And the last final weapon that they had was a grenade. So it was two pieces that you kind of actually squish together, and it creates a little vacuum on the inside so it stays together. And you throw the grenade, and they said that you have to use your left hand to throw the grenade because Spartans throw with their left hand in the game. I think they just didn't want people to peg people with the grenades. But the thing was, for the grenades, if it was separated, it was a dead grenade. But if you got hit when it was together and intact, then you were dead. So that was a lot of fun. Laird got to play first on, what was it? Did we play Friday or Saturday? Saturday, right?
It was Saturday. I was on red team, and you suited me up. And Dusty did something really cool that, you know, I'll let him tell what he did with your phone.
Yeah, I bought a GoPro specifically for this IRL Breakout stuff. And, by the way, Halo Collector, shout out to Kevin, he just posted a image to the little 3D printed Spartan and Elite. So if you're in the chat, you can click on the link in there, and he has that picture up. But for Breakout, what I did on Laird first was I actually strapped the helmet strap for the GoPro on top of Laird's helmet, got all set up. But with the GoPro 4, Hero 4, you can actually pair it up with your phone and do all the same functions, yeah. And you can actually watch it while it's recording. And the lag time between what the camera sees and what I see on the app is about 150 milliseconds. So We set up the camera on Laird's helmet, and I could basically watch him as he was playing while it was recording, him doing his Breakout match. So it was basically like a spectator mode.
Yeah. We didn't win the first match. I got taken out in the first match. It was the best of three. But in the final match, it was 4v1, and I took down three. And there was some good footage of that final game, and I would like to see it again, please.
Yeah, it'll be coming. Probably earlier in next week, because we have...
No. You're busy.
We got a bunch of pictures. Actually, I don't know how I managed to do this, but I took 20 gigs of pictures.
Oh, 20 gigs?
20 gigs. And over 50 gigs of video.
Well, video.
I can see video, yeah, but like picture, holy.
I'm sure he's shot in RAW. That's why.
Yeah, it's RAW, and every RAW file is about 24 to 26 megs.
Yeah, okay.
I took a lot of pictures of 405th because San Diego Comic-Con is a big thing for the 405th. And for those who don't know what the 405th is, it is the costuming division for all of the guys that do the Halo props. and the armor pieces is kind of the community fan base for the Halo costuming community type of stuff. So they have a photo shoot at San Diego Comic-Con every year, and they have one of the, I guess, volunteers for San Diego Comic-Con come up and organize the shoot. They position everybody, get a few poses in. They have other people that want to come and take pictures. They rotate them through, and it's this whole kind of scheduled thing. So I probably took upwards of 200 pictures just during the photo shoot.
Don't forget that dude that showed up with the steel light rifle. He actually sold it on Halo Collector. He managed to sell it.
Oh, he took it off of eBay?
It was a steel light rifle?
Yeah, 25 pounds, handcrafted.
Holy crap.
Hold on, let me bring up the stats on it. You guys chat, I'll go read what he posted.
So somebody made a light rifle out of
David
metal.
David Lyons, I believe is his name.
This thing was awesome. There's some pretty good weapon props out there that people have made for Halo, but this thing was crazy.
Was it to scale?
Yes.
No. Was it giant? And
no, not quite.
Well, it scaled to humans, down. not to knights or Prometheans.
Okay,
that would
I gotcha.
Be a little big. I mean, it was 25 pounds. I mean, this was a 8-gauge steel and. You know, the Dusty's got some really good shots of the intricate detail that he crafted I can't remember what he crafted it with. Hold on, I'm trying to bring it up.
I forget. I'll see if I can get some pictures up here on the stream real quick. But this thing, was it really 25 pounds?
25.8 pounds. It was a heavy sucker. Didn't you carry it?
Yeah, but I guess I've been doing too many weights.
I know, it's 25.8 pounds. It says heavy if you're in the military. That's as heavy as a loaded saw, an M249 saw.
Cool.
Okay.
Dang. Yeah, this thing was nice. This thing was really nice.
So I got a question. I didn't get to see much of the 405th. Like throughout all San Diego Comic Con, I was really busy. But like, did they have any new Halo 5 armor? Like, yeah. I've seen one picture that someone popped up. I don't remember if it was the 405th or someone that just kind of created it.
Two guys had. Benedict Choi had a Athlon with an Athlon body blue with, I can't remember the helmet, and Jose Valdez had an Athlon red with a recruit helmet. Those were the only ones that I saw that were Halo 5.
Sorry, no Helioscroll.
I know, that's what I was looking for. Just waiting to see that.
3D printed though. If you want to get the quick and dirty, the guy that made this was David R. Lyons. It's a Halo 4 light rifle, steel and copper build, no plastic, no paint, handcrafted, welded steel, hand ground and polished with brilliant orange lighting, 500 hours of work. It's approximately 40 inches long, 28 pounds. The light, if you leave it on, it has a charger and all that kind of stuff. It lasts for 2.5 hours per charge. Solid copper trigger, cold cathode lighting, and crushed glass epoxy, and a whole bunch of long words. 500 precision laser cut, 14 gauge, and 1/4 inch steel components. And yeah, there's pictures of it. Dust, I'll send them to you if you want, or I'll just link you to his where he's got him up on the.
Yeah, if you want to throw the link in the chat, and then of course I'll link it in our SDC write up. But I have the picture with you holding it, Laird, on the stream right now.
Oh, okay, there you go. That's it. Yeah, that would be it.
Yeah, and this
guy wasn't messing around. Holy
no! It is a heavy sucker.
This thing is massive.
That's crazy.
And I'm gonna throw a few more pictures up here. I'm just throwing them up live time, so excuse the place and drag to zoom, but you can see the detail on the little piece here by the scope.
Yep, that's what I was talking about. Yeah, that.
Oh, that's awesome.
The little eagle looking thing.
Right. Again, if you're listening to this downloaded, it's not going to make much sense, but go to our photo album when we post this later, and you'll see what we're talking about.
I need to ask him, but I'm wondering if each of those little symbols underneath the eagle or hawk, whatever, is actually kills, you know? That's what I was thinking when we had the rifle out.
Oh, that'd be interesting.
I'm looking at it on the link that Laird sent up, put up. This thing is insane.
Yeah. No,
like this is crazy.
He sold it, and I'm glad he did because, you know, it was, you know, he wanted to get rid of it quick for some reason, but I'm glad we found a owner for it for him.
One of the many cool things that was at Comic-Con.
Yeah.
So another thing that I actually wanted to see, I talked with him on Twitter, but there's a guy that actually made a Didact costume. I don't know if he goes to San Diego Comic-Con. I think he was at PAX last year, if I remember correctly.
No, he was at Dragon Con.
At Atlanta.
He was at Dragon
Con? Yeah, yeah. Okay. I know the guy you're talking about.
Dude, that he's put a lot of time into that, too. Like, the costumes that people put out, like 405th, just people that don't have a name associated with anything or anything like that. Like, they put so much time into this stuff, and it just looks incredible. Like, it looks professionally made, like something that was, like, you can buy off the market. It's insane.
And I have the back view of it now, so you can actually see the scope.
Yeah, he said in version 2, if he builds one, that the scope will be functional. Or version 1.5.
Cool.
Wow.
Not obviously smart link, but, you know,
well, yeah.
You'll be able to look through it and, you know.
Maybe I want a smart leak version.
You want the implants to go with it?
We have the technology.
He's already started. I mean, you know.
I started my augmentation.
What would no, I actually came up with an idea with that. What would be interesting is, and this is going beyond anything that's reasonable, but when HoloLens comes out, maybe have that, like maybe have like a something that kind of links up to it. Maybe something like that for virtual reality. Yeah, kind of something like that that kind of projects.
You could have like you could kind of exactly what you could do is what you were saying is say like with Dusty's GoPro, stick it on the front and then it broadcasts it what the camera sees to your HoloLens.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Just that'd like cool. The GoPro, you know, first person footage, put like a little HUD over it and there you go.
That would be kind of awesome.
There's your smart link. Dusty, let's get on that before anybody else does.
Let's do it. So that is the light rifle. And of course, there's all the 405th guys. There were how many, what would you say, about 25 or so?
I'd say there was 30. My favorite was the crawler, the young lady that was in the crawler costume.
Yeah.
I saw pictures of her. That was a wicked looking costume.
Yeah, I've seen that. That was pretty sick.
She said the jaws were going to be articulated eventually, just not at this point. Maybe a later version. But yeah, that I think that was probably my pick of the show of the 405th character cosplayers. It's just the dedication that she never got up. It was always on all fours. Like, there you go. That's the fact that she, you know, had the dedication for 3 or 4 days dressed like a crawler to, like, just crawl around, you know.
That really makes me want to see a Promethean Knight with the opening face mask.
That would be freaky. Could you imagine, like, walking around with that?
That's in the dark.
Yeah.
So we're looking at this picture that's on the stream now. Bile, you were asking about the people that were wearing Halo 5. The guy that's on... Each one of these guys that has the flag, so the red and the blue guy, they were the ones wearing the Athlon bodies. And, so they were the ones sporting the Halo 5 stuff.
Okay, cool.
It's awesome.
And you got your massive hammer there.
Yeah.
And of course, have to have the hammer.
Of course, we've got Mr. Chief hanging out there in the background with his chef outfit on.
Master Chef, yeah.
Master Chef, right.
That was pretty cool. And there's some other pretty cool photos with him in there. I'm going to throw this one up where actually there were a couple of interesting ones with the Master Chef and the crawler. So this is the first one. I just put it up so you'll see it pop up in the stream here in a second. But it was a lot of fun seeing this photo shoot, and they do a calendar every year, I guess. So they were doing additional poses outside of just the massive group poses.
Do you have the one of me kicking the red guy in the groin?
I do. I do. You want me to throw that one up?
It's up to you. I just want that one. Jose's been asking about it, and I said, I don't know. I have to wait until you finish or get it up.
Yeah, I can get it. Oh, I actually haven't looked at these jumping back ones yet. The ground pound ones. I got to go through those later.
Oh, those ones were pretty awesome.
It looks like I got some pretty good ones here, actually. And yeah, they're actually not blurry either, which is great. Anyways, getting distracted. Another cool one was someone getting assassinated with a sword.
That was Jose. I told him, pull out your knife, turn around, and take him with you.
Yeah. Okay, here we go, Laird. Throwing this one up now.
Uh-oh.
And then you have people in the background cheering that you're... All the blue team cheering that you kicked the red guy in the nuts.
Yeah. I was just kicking Jose. Not even a red guy. I love me red. Suck it, blue.
But there you go. It's up now.
Right in the groin.
So that was a lot of fun. That photo shoot was awesome to witness and be a part of. So we spent probably an hour and a half there.
Something like that, yeah. And that's when Eli showed up. I was going to call him by his IRL name.
Right. A lot of fun for that photo shoot. I had a blast. It was cool to see a lot of the 405th there because there was, I guess at PAX, there's usually a smaller group of maybe 10 or so, maybe yeah. A little more depending on the year. But this was just awesome to see all of these Spartans out here, which it was just awesome to see. And
well, these two specifically in the image will be at PAX, so maybe you can get some more shots coming up.
Definitely. One other shot I'm going to throw up here on the stream before I stop sharing pictures is they actually did a group photo in the breakout arena. So we have quite a few shots in there, which was really cool to see all this go down. So this is everyone in the breakout arena. And this was really cool to see, too, because it's just like it's Halo stuff and Halo environment, which is really cool.
Yeah.
So that'll pop up here in a second. And there it is.
Yay.
Cool.
All these pictures will be up most likely by Saturday, if not Sunday. I started going through them last night and we'll probably get through more tonight before going to bed.
For anybody that wants to know that ODST, he actually works at Bingle.
At what?
Bungie.
Oh, Bingle?
Yeah, that's Colin.
I didn't know what you meant by Bingle.
He's actually the ODST if you have the Legendary Edition where they show up at his house and building armor with his dad. That's him.
Gotcha. So big showing from the 405th. It was awesome to see everyone there. Huge shout outs to all those guys. And we'll be collabing with them to kind of cross share photos and footage. So you'll see a lot of stuff from us probably on their site if you check them out. And we'll also be collabing with Unishek because we actually, on Sunday, we set up our GoPros on opposite sides of the court to kind of get a double perspective. So we're going to be throwing those into some kind of split screen thing. I'm not sure how we're going to do that yet, but we're going to try to get that going here pretty soon as well. Let's see, what else do we want to get to? We haven't even really talked about the Halo panel yet, so let's go ahead and hop on board with that. Lots of cool little details, some of which we already knew of before, but we got more details on and some newer stuff as well. I think one of the bigger things is, especially for us, is that the Hunt the Truth audio drama is returning in September for season 2.
Thank God. I want more. I was actually re-listening to it when I was at work. I listened through them all over again.
Did you do the massive collection one?
I just threw it all in Audacity and just put it all together, just stitch them together. That way I can just listen all the way through.
You know they came out with an official one, right?
Yeah. Oh, is there? I don't
know. Yeah, it's 3.5 hours.
They put it on SoundCloud.
Yeah, super cut.
Okay.
Yeah, it was that was by far one of the coolest things. And after the panel, they had a signing over at the Xbox Lounge. It was interesting to learn that
yes.
One of the person that was behind the project for Hunt the Truth was actually listening to us while we were talking about episode 10 of Hunt the Truth, listening to us live in the Twitch chat.
That's
really?
Yeah. So that's the person cool. That was in charge of Hunt the Truth was listening to us discuss Hunt the Truth for episode 10 while he was working on episode 12 for Hunt the Truth.
That's crazy. That's
I hope he took notes for season 2.
I can't remember his name, but he was the narrative director, I believe was his
Noah
title.
Aichin?
I think that's it. Yeah. That sounds familiar.
He actually followed me a while back and I really didn't know who he was because he doesn't have Halo in his bio at all. But apparently he's been following for a while. Heck, he might that's even be cool. Listening tonight. If you're out there, Noah, and
you're
listening,
there, say hi.
it seemed like he enjoyed the show very much. He really loved hearing us talk about it. And of course, being part of the team that's working on it, you want to say something, but you can't. So he had that whole thing going for him. I thought that was pretty cool. So season two coming out is going to be awesome. I don't know if it's going to be something where it's going to just lead up to the launch of Halo, or if it's going to be something that extends beyond the launch of Halo. I'm guessing with it being Petra now in charge of the series, it's going to be something that is going to be short and concise and lead up to the launch of the game. That's just my guess.
I would hope so.
What would be interesting is have these go, like, have a short thing leading up to the launch and then have it timed out exactly to, like, where the launch will go up, and then have that last minute thing kind of leading up to the launch of Halo 5 and kind of reveal something before it's launched. And then when you go home and play it, it kind of makes sense in a way, like maybe like have like a little bit of a teaser that you had to kind of play and understand, maybe like an intro cinematic of some sort that kind of intertwines between Hunt the Truth and Halo 5. That'd be interesting to see.
I want Hunt the Truth to become the new TV show. Tell you the truth. I think it would be perfect.
It's so well done.
And just the cast would make it, you know, that they have now. They're all TV stars. It would just, you know, I don't know. I just think it would make a perfect TV show in its current format.
Yeah,
I think, for sure. Like, part of what's so great about Hunt the Truth, though, is you get to picture everything in your head. And I don't know about you guys, when I picture something in my head and then I have to see it on screen, you know, it's the whole "the book is always better" type concept.
Yeah, I completely
like that,
agree.
That would be my one fear. But I'm never that person because I can separate the two. But I truly loved being able to create these situations in my own mind and create how these characters looked, how these environments looked in my mind. So yes, it would be cool to have a show for me, but then at the same time, that was part of what was so amazing for Hunt the Truth.
What you're saying is your Ben would not be the same as mine or Dust or Bios or Zilla's
or what they put on the screen. Yeah.
Exactly. So you'd be disappointed that it's not your, what you had in your head as Ben.
Yeah, possibly.
Oh, I just imagined him as the actor who portrayed him.
Well, yeah, that's what I was like. That's what I'm saying. It was perfect. You know, the dude actually looks like, that plays him, looks like the comic, almost the comic character from whatever it was, Halo graphic novel or...
Right. Although he's a little more buff than that, it looks like.
Well, you know, CGI, you know.
Yeah.
So he has to wait.
I want Vin Diesel.
Vin Diesel?
You want Vin Diesel? Well, I mean, you know, Vin Diesel... When he does TV roles, I mean, he hasn't talked a lot in a lot of his movies. I mean, two words, you know, I am a Superman and I am Groot. I mean, other than
I want the Rock.
Vin Diesel, The Rock, and Stone Cold. You gotta have Stone Cold in there.
Get Will Smith in there. All right.
He'd do Johnson. I think he'd do a good Johnson.
He would say something awesome and witty like, "Guess we're home the truth now." Boom.
Welcome to Earth.
Yeah, welcome to Earth. So let's see. What else on the panel was there? There was the announcement. Well, take that back. There wasn't the announcement because we already knew that the Fall of Reach animated series was coming. But we actually got a snippet of kind of what we're going to see with the animated series for the Fall of Reach, which is going to be based straight off the book. It's a 3-part series. And
an hour long, I think they said it was going to be.
Okay. And it's going to be in a similar style as the Terminals. So the same company that did the Terminals for CE Anniversary and Halo 2 Anniversary is doing the Fall of Reach animated series.
Sequence Group.
Thank you. That's it. There's not any plans to do this with the other books, but judging that there's kind of a lot of tie-in, at least as we saw through Hunt the Truth with the Fall of Reach book, I think it's kind of a cool idea that they're doing this in an animated way. So for those that haven't read the books and want to get caught up, this will be an interesting medium for them to do it. I would like to see if it gets a good response that they do it with some of the other kind of key books. So do First Strike, Ghost of Onyx, maybe a few of the Evolution stories.
They've actually done a few of the Evolution stories as motion comics.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
They did Mona Lisa, Heart, I can't remember, something Midlothian. There
Heart,
you go.
Heart of Midlothian.
Yeah. Anyway. Headhunters and
The Babysitter was one, wasn't it, too?
No, that was in the
Halo Legends.
Halo Legends. The Return, the one with the elite that goes back to the planet after however many years after the war.
So lots of cool things to glean off of.
Dude, I can't wait for this. I can't wait for it. I seen that trailer and I was like, I want it. I want it now. It's like, I want to watch it. Which is actually interesting. Dust, my friend, the one that wants to do the Hunt the Truth podcast, he's now reading his first book, which is going to be Fall of Reach. So he's seen the animated thing. And so he goes, I want to compare the two. He goes, he wants to see the animated one and he wants to read the book. So he's halfway through the book. And he kind of told me the other day, he goes, I know that you wanted to get the idea of not getting me on, not reading any of the books, but he goes, I had to read it.
I think actually having him read the book and then talking to him after he's done reading the book will actually be a lot better, because you actually kind of get it's still fresh in his mind when he didn't have the knowledge to where now he has the knowledge. So it would be a cool contrast for him. So I think that'd be really cool to actually have.
Yeah, so he's reading that. He does audiobook. He can't read. he can read, but he won't read a book. But so he's been listening to an audiobook. And he told me that the other day, and I was actually really excited.
Very cool. Yeah, it's kind of interesting to see how Hunt the Truth is actually... I mean, this is only one person, but I'm assuming others are kind of doing the same thing where you're hearing part of this story that not many people know about in the Halo universe. And it's really intriguing. And it really gets you to think about what's really going on. So that's really cool to see. Other things that they announced during the panel was, what else did they talk about?
I was really surprised that correct me if I'm wrong, but they didn't say anything about the TV show. Like there was nothing on that.
We asked, or I asked off camera. It's in production, and that's about all the info that they would give.
All right. It's kind of hoping
canceled, if that's your question.
Yeah, no. I didn't think it was canceled, but I was kind of hoping that we'd get some sort of glimpse at what it could be.
Yeah, and I thought that was what was going to happen this year at this event, because generally this is where they deploy the media. This supplementary media. So,
yeah,
I don't know.
So I'm going back to my Twitter feed because I was actually live tweeting this whole panel.
Front row.
Yeah.
Good seats.
There you go. So the three latest books that have come out, there's actually one more that's going to come out, but New Blood, Last Light, and Hunters in the Dark, those all give backstory perspective into Fireteam Osiris, other than Locke, because we got Locke through Nightfall.
The one that hasn't been released was actually Fred, but the other ones were Osiris. The light one.
Okay.
Last Light. That's Fred's book.
Okay. I thought they said that Osiris was kind of in all of them.
I don't know. Maybe they are. It's just. Anyways, you're right. Vale, Locke, and Hunters in the Dark.
Is
Nightfall Vale. and New Blood, yes, you're right. That's Osiris.
Right. All those books. No, that's okay. All those books are going to be covering the backstory behind some of the main characters that we're going to see in the game. You also have another part of the story where the Arbiter is still kind of trying to handle the Covenant Civil War that's going on since the massive breakup at the end of Halo 3. So as Fireteam Osiris, you're kind of helping the Arbiter with what's going on with him, and in exchange he's helping you hunt down Chief, and this is all going on while you're on St. Helios. So that's another little kind of setting stone for how the part of the campaign is going to go. Another thing that they pointed out was that the campaign is layered with lore in the universe. You'll get the main story concepts if you just rush through it, but if you really want to get into the nitty-gritty of the campaign, they encourage that you take your time with exploring the area,
which is good for me.
Yeah. And I know at E3, talking to somebody, I don't remember who it was now, but they said that the campaign is designed in such a way where speedrunners will have certain routes. Okay, yeah, it was Tim. Have certain routes that will you need to practice in order to get through levels quicker. So there are thoughts going into the campaign for speedrunners. So for them, they're going to do that fast route. But for people that want to take their time with the game or maybe aren't as great as running campaign, you actually have some other options, some other pathways that you'll be able to take and really get to explore in depth the universe of Halo.
Cool.
So that's kind of exciting to know that there's layered lore in there. And it kind of harkens back to the little Easter eggs I think Bungie has put in their games. But it's cool to see that a lot of the stuff that we're going to see is going to be kind of more encouraging to explore the area than it is to just kind of run through.
So you're confirming in Halo 5 there's going to be another Halsey lab. That's what you're saying?
I don't know about that.
That would actually be pretty cool, but
that would be kind of cool.
That's what it kind of, you know, there'll be something like that is what it came across like at the panel. Is you'll find little, maybe not as detail-oriented, but some things like that.
Right.
If you look.
So another thing that they showed off was a little infographic that kind of goes through how all the pieces fit into Halo 5. So you have Halo Escalation, you have New Blood, Fall of Reach, Master Chief Collection, the Hunter and Hunted Bullet trailer with the Hunt the Truth stuff, Last Light, Nightfall, and Hunters in the Dark. So I tweeted out a graphic of how all of it kind of connects together and what pieces kind of fit in with Halo 5. I don't think this is going to be quite as reliant on getting with Halo 5 as it was in Halo 4, where you had to know the backstory in order to get part of it. And even for those that read it, didn't quite get all of it either. But I think I also heard, and Laird, correct me if I'm wrong, but aren't they supposed to be doing some kind of introductory cinematic in the game where they go over kind of what's happened?
Yeah, I didn't specifically say, but for those fans and people of other franchises that know Gears of War 3, that had a, it was like a 2 or 3 minute kind of, what are those called? At the beginning, where they catch you up, you know, it's like last time preludes? You know, last episode preludes. There you go. Thank you. So it was a prelude to the, you know, what happened before. So they said there would be a more extensive, opening cinematic that much more explains what's going on currently and just prior to in the Halo universe.
I felt like they tried that with Halo 4, but they just missed it a little bit.
Yeah.
Or by a lot.
But it came across that they're really not going to need... I mean, it's good that you have the books, but you're not going to necessarily need them to know the good chunk of the story. I mean, it's good to have, but you don't have to. Not like, hey, who's Didact? LOL, you know, kind of thing.
It's beneficial, but not required.
Sure.
Right.
That's good.
For those that have played the games and know the books, it's not going to be something that you have to watch.
And it seemed like the way they were talking about the story is you will get the story in the actual game and not the terminals. I mean, the terminals are still going to be there, but, you know, important, you know, stuff like that will be in game, not find an Easter egg and then, oh, you know, kind of deal.
I think that was kind of all the major talking points. I'm assuming they're going to be releasing the panel sometime this coming weekend. I think a lot of the panels usually come out, what, a week after they show? Something like that?
Something like that, yeah.
So we'll be looking out for that. Of course, we'll post it when it comes out. But whenever it does, I highly recommend you guys go watch it. They had someone else on the panel. Do you remember her name? Who was like one of the lead campaign
narrative? I can't remember her first name. I believe it was Megan, but her last name was Lockhart. I know that for sure.
Okay.
She was narrative designer at 343. She had glasses and wavy red hair.
There you go.
Definitely what.
So that was really cool to actually see. that they're kind of really diving into the campaign as well. Because a lot of what we've seen so far is the multiplayer stuff. So I think this is the first time that we're actually getting campaign info, just kind of diving in a little bit deeper into it. So this is really cool. And aside from the E3 campaign gameplay trailer that we saw, or campaign demo.
Yeah, E3 really kind of seems like the multiplayer, and Comic-Con always seems like the narrative, yin and yang, you know, 1 month apart.
Right.
That's what it seems.
So from the panel, we also have the, we had some of the voice actors that they brought up afterwards, and then they did Q&A. So the voice actors was Vale, Roland, Captain Lasky, the Halo Wars captain.
No, Carter? That was something different. No. He was not on the stage. That was different.
Oh.
It was Vale, Lasky, Locke, and
Roland.
Someone else. Roland. There you go. Well, Captain Cutter was at a different voice set. He was at a different voice actor panel that wasn't Halo related.
So wait, he was at the signing? Vale. So he was at the signing, but he wasn't at the panel.
No, he wasn't at the signing. He was in... Okay, so we're going to go off on a tiny little story. The Greg Berger, who plays Grimlock for people that are Transformers, early 80s fans, plays Halo Wars Captain Cutter.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
We were just talking with him after a panel, and he was telling us about how he was at the Xbox booth promoting the game he's working on, which is Transformers something something, the newest Transformers game put out by Platinum Games. And he was at the Xbox booth when the signing was going on. He told us about how all the voice actor recording was done at Ensemble Studios. All the voice actors were actually in the studio all at the same time when they did the recording sessions. And he thought that was a cool little story to tell.
That is cool. I actually like when they have the actors at the same place at the same time. I feel like you get more raw emotion out of them because they can kind of play off one another.
I think that's kind of important.
Well, yeah, he was telling us about how Nolan North was there in the office or whatever, the booth. And just for those that don't know who Nolan North is, he's every voice ever in a video game. Mainly known as Sergeant Forge in Halo and Romeo in ODST and Sony franchises. He's Nathan Drake. He's what's his face in Assassin's Creed? Can't remember his name. The modern assassin,
whiny guy is what I call him.
Yeah, the whiny guy. the guy that's in the Animus you play for the first three games. Desmond Miles.
That's it.
There you go. Yeah.
So that was cool to meet all those guys, and I have a nice little signing war going on in my journal, thanks to Bonnie, Kiki, and Frankie. So that was kind of epic.
Man, I remember you mentioned how it was so striking to see Kiki, Frank, and Bonnie all casually dressed, like, in basically going from suits and ties and whatever at E3 a month before to basically wife beaters and whatever. Not necessarily wife beaters, but just all, you know, super casual shorts and night, you know, looking like us kind of deal, you know. And that was kind of a shocking detail for you.
Well, it was just nice to see that they could be there and have a good time without having to be all formal about everything. That was just, I mean,
they're chill out.
I wasn't necessarily surprised that they could do it. It was just more, I was happy to see them in that way. Like, just see them there to enjoy it instead of having to be there for business. That was all.
I do prefer those types of environments.
Yeah, no, it was super chill and casual. That's definitely how it was.
It was, yeah. I'm going to throw my webcam again real quick and show everyone on the stream what the inside cover of my journal looks like right now. So as you're watching it, this is where it was originally signed. So at New York Comic Con last year, they're actually giving these, or they were selling these because it was the first time that they were selling them. And they came, 20 of them came pre-signed with Kiki's signature on them. And then Frankie signed a little bit later. And then I showed it to Kiki.
Escalation girls are dumb.
And she did this. Down here. And they're then full Bonnie of
cooties.
Bonnie did this. later in the day. And then this is where it stands afterwards. This is Frankie.
Kiki is dumb.
So I'm going to take this to PAX and see where it goes from there. Get them to
eBay. It's going to eBay.
No, dude, this is something I'm keeping.
eBay.
No, dude. No, this is my signing journal. So
fair enough.
All the signatures I can possibly ever fit in this, I'm going to try. So I have a page in here for multiplayer people. I have a page in here for the media crew.
Did you actually get Greg Berger when we were there? I forget.
Yeah, he was actually my... Yeah, there he is. Boom, right there. Top one on the right.
I'm waiting for the stream to catch up. You're flipping through the book.
And And I got Spartan Logs, I got Rollins and Lasky. So that's my voice actor page. And then I start another page here.
Thing that you needed to get is Nathan Fillion. Now that's going to be...
He was actually there. Just we didn't see him. Yeah, we didn't see him.
Okay. I got Sparkies. So that's in there.
There you go.
Okay.
But yeah, eventually this will get filled out. Oh, and this is Noah's, the Hunt the Truth director. You'll see that on stream in a second. And then I got Ian Kirby, the director of the Fall of Reach animated series. And then Morgan Lockhart. Yeah.
Morgan, I called her Megan.
Narrative designer for Halo 4 and 5. So there you go.
What was it?
Narrative designer.
Narrative designer.
Yep.
Interesting.
I've seen her pop up in one or two of the FIDOCs in the last couple months.
So that's that signing journal. So this is probably going to be like a 5 to 7 year project to get as many signatures in here as I possibly can. So if anyone 343 is watching or listening to this, your name hopefully eventually come in here, or any of 343's partners, your name will hopefully be in here at some point. Let's see what else. I guess for people on the stream, since we kind of teased this out, hand model? What the heck? What are you talking about, Haas?
Just seen so much of your hand.
Yeah.
I'm impressed by its form and structure.
We're going to actually do a little giveaway right now. And
look at that super sexy shirt you're wearing.
So, yeah, that's what I'm getting to. We're actually going to be giving away a Halo 5 Guardians exclusive San Diego Comic-Con pin. I teased this out on Twitter earlier, so we're going to be giving this away right now. And to kind of prelude this, I ordered the first ever run of hashtag Blame BioWolf t-shirts.
Dust, me and you're going to have a talk, dude.
We already talked about this, man.
I know we have.
I want one. I'm buying one. I was going to steal yours because it was my size, but hey, you know, it's yours. Exactly.
So these are going to be available in very limited quantities at RTX. Don't know what we're going to do afterwards for availability for these, but this is the first ever hashtag Blame BioWolf t-shirt, I believe. So it's keep calm and hashtag Blame BioWolf. So yeah, if you're going to RTX, you'll have a chance to possibly win one of these if you're at our anniversary panel or at our anniversary party. So make sure you're in attendance for that if you're at RTX. But to enter yourself into claiming this pin, and there are, of course, people in here that are exempt, aka staff and people that already have this pin. I want you to...
Can we quit and reapply?
You have to wait 60 days after you quit to be eligible for winning prizes.
Oh.
And there's a do not compete clause.
There you go. So I want people to make their best hashtag playing by a wolf statement in the chat. And I'll give you guys a few minutes to come up with yours. And the best one will win the San Diego Comic-Con pin. And don't worry, if you don't win now, there'll be more. I got plenty.
What is the pin? Like, I can't, like, my stream's lagging for me, so I can't see what it is. What is it? Like, I haven't seen what it looks like.
So, it's just says Halo 5 Guardians. I'll hold it up again, and I'll keep it up there for about a minute or so.
It's a big metal square. It's a hefty pin.
It's nice. It's very nice.
Uh-oh, you should. You had more than one. Now people are going to be bugging you.
Oh, I see it. Okay, I see.
The thing is, I didn't show them how many I have, so they don't know how many I have.
Well, you put up 3 or 4 on the screen at the same time.
That's not all the ones I have, though.
I know.
So put in your best hashtag blame BioWolf here, and we'll pick a winner here in a little bit. A couple other things that was there at San Diego Comic-Con was, of course, they have the exclusive minifigs. So they have the Mega Bloks. I call them blind packs because the series packs are, I think they're called blind packs, the ones where it's like there's six or seven or eight different minifigs that you can get and you don't know which one you're getting.
Polybags, yeah. Or whatever they were calling them.
They have the San Diego one, and I think this is the thing that we're going to be getting for RTX to give away at...
Yeah, they're convention exclusive. Right. They're not exclusive to one convention.
Right. Although the three-figure Mega Bloks thing, which I don't have yet because the box hasn't gotten here, but that was exclusive to San Diego Comic-Con.
Yeah.
Right. Another thing which I don't have, which was also exclusive to San Diego Comic-Con, was the Dark Horse Bronze Pelican.
Man, those are cool.
This was pretty cool. We do have a few of those. Actually, maybe just one of those to give away. But yeah, they were pricey. I did buy a few. But they're the same Pelican as like the ones that you can normally buy, which is like the normal color one. But this one is, it's metallic, but bronzy, I think it's bronze gold. Plated. Something like that.
Yeah, or it's bronze, like bronzy finish. Gold almost.
Yeah. Once we get them in, I'll take pictures and post them up. But there was this. And I need to see some more Blame BioWolves in here. I only see one from Penn so far. Maybe he's going to win by default. Anyways, there's a few posters.
Default.
There you go. There's a few posters that we got as well. So at San Diego Comic-Con, you were actually able to play Warzone. You couldn't play the new map. They didn't have Apex. And what was the new game mode that they announced? Domination, something like that? Or it was
kind of, if you're Call of Duty, it's... Or whatever, it's hold certain map sections of the map, and then it's Warzone at the same time.
Right. So we had if you played through Warzone, which was the same build as if you were at E3. So E3 is like an industry only thing, and San Diego Comic Con is like open to anybody. So if you actually got to play, you got to get this poster.
Yeah, it's really cool.
This is the Spartan Locke poster. So I'm going to try my best here with the webcam to show this off.
This was a nearly, if you had to wait in line, it was a 2-hour wait to get this almost.
Wow.
It's worth the wait.
So with the roll, it's kind of hard to show. I'm
a poster junkie, dude. Nut job for posters.
So that was the lock poster.
Yeah.
Okay, that's pretty cool looking.
But the thing is, if you want to get the full set of each team, you got to find those images that Haas was talking about so you can print off the rest of the team.
That's a pretty decent size poster. What's the sizes on them?
This is a
22 by 28, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah, something like that. I think isn't like a common dimension 22 by 34, and then it's like 24 by 36, something like that. I had a tape measure here somewhere, but I don't see it now. Anyways, so that was if you went through and played Warzone. You also got one of these pins if you downloaded the Halo channel app, which just came out on iOS and Android. On Thursday or Wednesday?
Something like Wednesday. That. They released it this week.
I think it was Wednesday.
It was Wednesday. Because hey, Haas,
Android, you got some love, man.
I do have it.
Yes.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah.
And it actually works, which is really so much
better than the
really
Xbox
awesome.
And Windows app, too.
I know.
thank Kiki, because she said they put a lot of effort into that.
Yeah.
Well,
that was
I'm amazing. Still waiting for them to release it on Windows Phone.
Let it bake for a while.
It was nice to see it actually working on a mobile device. It was cool. So that is out on iOS and Android. If you have not picked it up already, do it. So if you walked by and say, hey, I got the app, then you got a pin, which was really cool. The other poster, which is opposite the lock, is obviously Chief. And this was the poster that they were giving out at the signing. And eventually, after they did the signing, and my camera decided to just go really bright all of a sudden, they also gave this out if you won Breakout on Saturday or Sunday. If you won the Breakout match, then you would actually get one of these posters. And we have a lot of these to give away. I think we have, I don't know how many we have, but we got a lot. We picked up a lot on Sunday.
I need to grab my extra one I tossed in your tube for winning.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yeah.
I forgot about it.
It's all right. We'll get it to you. But this is the Chief one.
Yeah, I know.
I have it right.
The Chief one's cool.
Yeah. This is really cool. I need it back up again.
And don't forget, Che told us to find him.
There you go. It should pop on the stream here pretty soon. So this is the Chief one. Da, 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 da. Really, really cool.
I like the Chief one a lot better than Locke. I like the color of it.
So the Chief one will be given away at some point too, within the week. We'll be doing a couple giveaways for the pins and the poster. One other poster that we have, which they gave away at the Mega Block signing, which happened on Saturday, and Bravo was there, Frankie was there, and Sparky was there, and he used to be the VP of Mega Blocks. Is that right? Correct me if I'm wrong, Laird.
VP of something, Kevin would know. He was the VP of franchise development, kind of like Frankie, but on the Mega Block side. Like, he was in charge of multiple properties.
Gotcha. So we have the Mega Blocks poster, and this one's pretty big. So that one, we have quite a few of those signed that will be given away as well, signed by Frankie, Bravo, and Sparky. And that's about everything that was there at San Diego Comic-Con, aside from the 3D printed Spartans. Now, those were pretty cool. They were made by a company called Sandboxer, which we recorded an interview with them, which will be up on... I guess you have to go through an approval process for that. So at some point, it's going to be up on Halo Collector's YouTube channel. And we actually got to talk to... Who is it?
TJ, and I think I'm going to... I believe Dave was the gentleman that we spent most of the time with when we ended up ordering and talking. But TJ was the CEO of the company that we did the interview for.
That was a pretty cool interview. We went through the whole process and the whole partnership with 343. And it was really cool to actually see the detail that was in it. And you can tell it's 3D printed, so it's not like finely cut shapes, but it does the job pretty well. And for all the 3D Spartans, you could choose between four different armor sets. So you had Athlon, Recruit, Mark VI, and Helios Skrill. You could choose your color. You could choose your gender. There was... six weapons to choose from?
Five.
Shotgun, BR.
AR.
Hydra.
Magnum. Hydra. Yeah, and then there's three different poses. There was the standard where you're standing there with the assault rifle down to your knees or your weapon of choice. There was the dynamic kind of running pose. And then there was the one where you had your weapon behind your head with one arm over your shoulder.
Right.
And your name, and then your name on it. You put your name on it.
Yep, so you could customize the back plate name tag with whatever you wanted on there. So most people just did their gamer tag or their names, which is really cool.
We actually talked about chipping in to get a Blame BioWolf one. Like, it was going to have hashtag Blame BioWolf. There was actually enough characters to do it.
Oh, man.
It would have been...
But they were expensive.
It would have been a lot of fun.
Yeah, I paid $400 and some odd for a couple of them, so... Sorry, Boyle.
So that was fun. They also had some of the displays up for the new one. So they had the... You're going to have to say this one again. The K1, Laird.
The K1?
The Koyo...
Oh, Kotobukiya.
That one.
Kotobukiya Artifacts. They're not the big 12-inch ones. They're the 1/10. I think they're like 7-inch. Basically, they're like highly detailed. They're like... If you buy the base model Chief, it's $70. But if you buy the armor pack and the base body, it's actually $10 cheaper. So you'd be smarter to go buy the body and the armor pack instead of buying the base Chief. But anyways, you don't get a weapon that way. Right. But basically, they're like little miniature statues with limited articulation. So they're kind of like an action figure statue hybrid thing. But they're really highly detailed. Like, you had Master Chief, you had the Halo Anniversary Master Chief. So if you wanted old school Halo Chief, you could get the Mark V, the Mark VI, and these were in Chief colors. The Mark VI, I believe, was a blue and came with an energy sword, but it was the Halo Anniversary multiplayer Mark VI, and so not the old school Halo 3, Halo 2 looking one.
Yeah, it was. The Mark V, the Mark VI, and the blue one.
Yeah, and then the chief Mark VI from Halo 4, 5, what, right. Halo 1, 6,
yeah,
or
and
whatever.
Yeah, the Mjolnir Mark VI, that was the blue one. And then the red one.
Yeah, they were doing an Athlon. There was a future product line for an Athlon for Halo 5.
Right.
And then when we were talking with James Monosmith, he said would be definitely more Halo 5 ones coming down the line.
Yeah.
But nothing specific.
And we got pictures of all those.
Dude, I'm going to be broke.
Yeah. No. Yeah, no. Oh, but the really cool thing, I didn't even see it until I saw pictures from some of our members online. That made me super happy. And this was a completely new announcement, was the Pillar of Autumn by Dark Horse. They're doing a Pillar of Autumn.
Huh. That's really cool.
Okay, so you know how Dust was talking about the Pelican? It's in the same line, but it was only announced just at Comic-Con, so I guess it's probably going to be 6-7 inches long. It's made of poly resin, poly stone resin.
Can the Pelican fit inside?
No. Like, I'm sure you could make it if you tried really hard, but not by default. No. It's only 6 or 7 inches long.
I need things to scale. I don't know why I even try.
Yeah, things to scale would not even fit in your house, dude.
I need a whole fleet.
You'd literally be able to live in the Pelican.
Just shoot you up to space. Just you can enjoy it up there.
Yeah.
Let's see. The McFarlane Halo 5 line. I know for a while they had the 3 out there, and they had kind of the mystery other 3. But at San Diego, they actually had all 6 there.
Yeah. Chief and Locke.
Right. Then Kelly and Athlon, an Athlon yellow, an Athlon yellow and gray, an Athlon blue and white. And then what's this other blue one?
I think there was Fred also.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
And then, you know, no one freak out yet. There's very, very likely a series 2 coming. So there's very likely that the rest of Blue Team and the rest of Osiris will be in that future line, you know.
Oh, boy. Don't
freak out. They're not.
I'm pretty excited for Vale. I really like the look of Vale.
She's got like that wasp looking helmet.
Yeah,
I think it's pretty slick.
Yeah,
they were actually saying at the panel that Vale is going to be that new breakout Halo character. Excuse the pun. I didn't mean to throw the map out there. That new character that Palmer was supposed to be, you know, that character we want, that new Johnson, that new Arbiter. I could see that. That's what they were kind of.
I know everybody's all excited about Buck, but I.
Yeah.
No. But they were saying they heavily implied, like, that's what a lot of people at the company are saying, that she's the new interesting character.
Huh.
People are going to be surprised.
Sorry, Tanaka. Take a seat.
Yeah, apparently it was. They were talking about on the panel where people were more interested in Vale in the campaign, or playing as Vale compared to playing as like Locke or somebody,
or Buck, or even Chief. They were saying everybody likes to play as Vale.
Right. Everyone was trying to play Vale.
Now, whether that's a sales pitch or genuine, you know. Genuineness, we'll have to wait and see.
Right. They also announced a new Mega Bloks set, the new Mombasa Police Department Pelican. So they showed that off at our San Diego Comic-Con. That was there. It has a landing pad. This is the next in the Signature Series line. And it has a little docking bay in the back. It has a Chieftain, ODST with a rocket launcher, pilot, a Marine, which kind of looks like Johnson on the turret. And a few other things. They also showed off the Phaeton, which we've seen before, the Cobra tank, and the new Goss Warthog that's out there. So that was the Mega Bloks stuff. What else was there? There was the Vulpin Needler there in action, and actually saw a picture of Kevin holding it on the last day, which I am so jealous of you, Kevin.
That was the NECA Needler.
Well, yeah, it was.
Because you said Vulpin. Vulpin is a prop company.
I thought they were the one that made this.
No, that's an actual scale Halo Needler that's coming to market.
Wow.
Yeah, no, that's something that, like the motorcycle helmet, you know, maybe not everybody, granted everyone will be able to afford it, but it's going to be an actual product that you, if you have the money, you, I, Haas, whoever has the money can actually get it. And I wouldn't say it would be more than, you know, because NECA is really good with price and money, and because they built that giant Master Chief that's only $100 and it's really high quality. So I'd guess that the prop would probably only be like $200, $250, and it's full size, like 1-to-1 scale.
this thing is nice.
No, your credit card company's gonna love you.
Your wallet's gonna
right,
hate you. There you go.
There you go.
So this thing, I didn't even know this was gonna do something that comes to market. So that's another thing for me to save up on.
Okay, hold on. Let me quickly bring up the marketing email that I was sent a little while ago. I'll read out what it says.
All right.
You guys do your thing. When I get to it, I'll interrupt.
Gotcha.
Play.
So that's pretty much everything that they showed off there at Comic-Con. All the new stuff that they have going into in production. Last thing to cover for San Diego Comic-Con was, I guess it's in the Megablocks panel. They actually showed off some of their new lines. So they're starting a new minifig line, which is their Halo Heroes line. And instead of the blind pack stuff where it's like there's 8 figures and you have to kind of go and collect them all, these are going to be individually labeled. You know what you're getting. And similar to the exclusive stuff that we got at San Diego, there's a lineup of minifigs that's a lot more detailed. And it's, I think from the demo video that I saw, all of Spartan Team Osiris had minifigs. All of Blue Team had minifigs. I saw one of Thorn. I think I saw one maybe of Palmer. So you have this lineup of characters that you'll actually be able to buy minifigs with these nice little stands. And you have, I want to say maybe from what I saw, 16 to 20 different figures that you'll be able to collect. So that's a new line that's coming in 2016. They also announced that there's going to be the Spirit Dropship, the Halo 5 Spirit Dropship with the individual opening doors. They had a prototype up on the screen for that. That's coming in 2016 as well. So that's another set we'll get next year.
Hey, Dust, Kevin threw up a picture of the Halo Needler if you want to throw it up on the screen.
Yeah, that's the one I saw. And once I saw that, I'm like, you lucky son of a... He got to hold it.
He did as they were closing. It says NECA will be officially revealing the 1-to-1 scale Needler pop replica, which to me says it's going to be a retail release.
I wonder how expensive that thing's going to be.
Going to say probably about $250 because they're really good with price and keeping it down.
And I want a BR.
That wouldn't be too bad, actually.
You want a BR? Is that what you said?
Yes.
That thing would be huge.
I would just strap it on my back. Look at it.
All right.
Wailing down the road.
Fair enough.
The problem is, Haas, that Halo weapons look too much like real guns. So, yeah. Maybe one day.
Well, they have airsoft guns that have painted orange tips. I'm sure they can do something similar to that.
Yeah. No, I'd think you'd see a carbine or a bacon. You guys don't call it the Baconator. Focus rifle.
The Baconator.
Before. Uh-huh. I call it the Baconator. That's my nickname for it.
Fair enough. So that, I think, is the entirety of our San Diego Comic-Con experience. We also did get an interview with Sony Props, who made the helmet and armor pieces for the Breakout experience. And also, we got a 30-minute interview with Matt Forbeck, who is the writer of New Blood. So we'll be releasing those shortly after we release this for download. And those are some interviews that you will not want to miss.
Those were cool interviews. That was a cool 30-minute sit-down. Like, he was nice and casual.
It was awesome.
Real chill guy.
Yeah. Last call for those who want to try to win the pin. Make your best hashtag BioWolf, blame BioWolf statement, and we'll give that away here in just a second. But I want to give a huge thanks to Laird for being on the show tonight and helping us reminisce on our San Diego Comic-Con experience, especially my first time, which was a blast. Thank you very much.
Welcome. Thanks for having me. Hopefully more next year.
Yes, hopefully. Make sure you check out our coverage. We'll be releasing tons of pictures from the 405th, obviously, and then from the Xbox Lounge with stuff in the Breakout Arena. We have the podcast coming. We have Breakout footage, GoPro, both first person and wall camera, and some fun video of 343 messing around as well. So lots of cool content coming out there. And that's going to be it for our San Diego Comic-Con show. We're going to be doing a couple of shows leading up to RTX, of course. We finished our Indiegogo campaign. Sadly, we did not reach our goal, but we did get enough to where we can get a few things for RTX to give away during our panel and at our anniversary party. So thanks to everyone who contributed. The surveys for everyone who contributed for reward tiers will get surveys this weekend. So make sure you check your inbox and make sure Indiegogo doesn't go to your spam filter for filling those out, because that's the way we'll get all of your information, whether it be names for shout outs or if you actually had one of the reward tiers that has physical rewards like the wristbands or the t-shirts, stuff like that. Make sure you fill out those surveys because that's the only way you're going to get them. Also, if you're going to RTX, you'll be able to pick up your physical goods there. And if you're not going to RTX, of course, there'll be an option in the survey that says whether or not you're going, and we will just ship you your goods that way. Make sure you check out our game nights. That is on Friday at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time, hosted by the one and only Godzilla Todd on the Master Chief Collection. So that is live streamed also, so make sure you come join the chat if you're not able to hop in a game with us. And we're also trying to stream a little bit more regularly. Haas, I believe you have a little thing going on with Rectified Gaming on Mondays called Man Up Monday. Correct me if I'm wrong.
That is correct.
So tell us a little bit about that, because that's something that's a little new to the channel.
It's just working with the guys over at Rectify Gaming, and we're just trying to do a little more community interaction with them. Me and Twisted play any form of competitive Halo, Halo 1, 2, 3, Halo 2 Anniversary. We sometimes get a match or two in Halo 4. More than just me and him are welcome to join. We like having people to play with, meeting new people, expanding our friends list, expanding our community reach. So
very cool. So that's going to be going on, and we may have another stream set up going on at some point as well. Still trying to iron out those details, but make sure you check out our Twitch stream, and we'll be doing stuff every week, including this podcast back on a normal schedule. Make sure you check out our sister podcast network. It is the Podcast Network. That's with a K. You can check that out over at podka.st, where you can find podcasts such as Critzcast, Guardian Radio, Work in Progress, How to Murder Time, and The Learning Cliff. All great gaming podcasts. If you're looking for some additional entertainment to listen to while you're at work, while you're driving, or if you're interested in some other games that you may be wanting to venture out and explore, those are some great podcasts to get into. Also, make sure you check out a few of our favorite Halo communities. Of course, the Halo Collector has a lot of info going up on all of the collector stuff that we've seen. So that's shout outs to Mr. Laird here in the chat and Kevin Hurd. Also, shout outs to the 405th for letting us kind of tag along for their photo shoots and a lot of the other
stuff. Awesome. Yeah, dinner.
The dinner was pretty cool. So huge shout outs to them, and shout outs to Stony Props for all of the armor pieces that went into the breakout arena. Shout outs to Boomco and all the resellers who were showing stuff off and selling stuff at San Diego Comic Con. Really appreciated seeing a lot of the stuff out there. Really cool first time experience for San Diego Comic Con. So thanks to everybody who played a part in making the experience a great experience for me. It was awesome, and I hope I can go again next year. That's going to wrap it up for us tonight. Thanks for everyone tuning into the live stream. And since I only see one submission other than Laird's, but he already has, I take that back. There's two of them in here.
Nope. There's Pens and someone else.
Adam the Stein. I'm going to be flipping a
flip
coin.
A quarter.
I've got a quarter here.
Do it on stage. So do it on camera. So there's no cheating. Yeah. Do it on camera.
Okay.
Yeah. I want to see your coin flipping skills with those model hands.
What the heck? Oh, shots fired.
What the heck? Okay. Since there's stream lag, this is going to be a little awkward for those in the chat, but I'm going to do heads for Penn since he posted first, and I'm going to do tails for Adam the Stein since he posted second. So just so people know, this is not a double-headed quarter. There's the head.
They're both here still.
Oh, it's kind of blurry. And then the back is actually, it's the Great Basin. It's one of those little custom quarters. So I'm going to flip the coin, And it is heads, so Mr. Pins gets the pin. So thanks for playing, everybody. We'll be giving more pins away. We'll be giving them away on Twitter and Facebook later on. But we'll be giving some away probably during live streams later this week and next week as well. And just...
If I lose, blame Beowulf.
Well, Beowulf, you're to blame. But I will say this, and this is more effective for those on the stream. Keep calm and hashtag blame Beowulf. So, again, huge shout-outs to everyone for coming and tuning into our live stream. Thanks to everyone for downloading the show. We will see you guys here next week on Thursday for yet another installment of Podtacular as we count down to 500 and count down to our anniversary at RTX. So, thanks again, everyone. We'll see you next time. Keep on fragging conventions.